Welcome to The Drive. Over the next 2 hours, we'll break down everything that's happening in the sports world, locally and nationally. Got an opinion? Hit us up at 843-652-3776. The Drive is socially networked. Get us on Twitter at 1003TheTeam or on Facebook at facebook.com/1003TheTeam. Now buckle up, take the car out of park, and let's go to the Sports Radio 100.3 The Team studio in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, with your boys, Pat Payone and Wally B.
Welcome to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team on this Friday, St. Patrick's Day. And you know who's back in the building?
Yeah!
Our own Wally B. Wally, how you doing, my man?
Oh, man, feeling blessed. Not stressed, but totally, like, out of it.
I bet.
And after going home, you know, when you got to go home and bury a family member and deal with the mourning and all the comfort food and hang with the family, you completely go off the grid. I haven't seen any TV, haven't heard any radio for, like, 6 days, and that's, like, it seems like it's been a month. So getting back in the swing of things, it's good to be back with you, bro.
Well, our thoughts and our prayers are with you and your family. We're definitely happy to have you back in studio with us. We missed you. We can tell you that.
Missed you guys too, big time, man.
As you can see behind me, Wally, I filled out my bracket live on Facebook, and there's a couple X's already on there.
Look
it's okay,
at you.
Though.
Look at
it's okay,
you.
Though. We'll get into some college basketball. We'll actually going over pretty much everything that happened yesterday and previewing today. We'll do that in the first hour. But wanted to start off talking about the Clemson Tigers and their pro day that they had yesterday. It was really a show to see what the three big prospects could do differently than they did, or just be able to do what they weren't able to do in the NFL Combine, and that is quarterback Deshaun Watson, wide receiver Mike Williams, and running back Wayne Gallman. They all participated yesterday. And so I went to Todd McShay, and we all know who Todd McShay is. He's the ESPN personality that follows college football religiously and is a huge NFL draft nerd and just has so many great opinions on the NFL draft. So he was actually at the Pro Day yesterday, and so he had a couple different takeaways, and so I was going to touch on these and really talk about how they affect their draft stock. And so first one, Todd McShay says about Deshaun Watson, he has clearly put in the work. And you have to take this into consideration. These guys aren't throwing with offensive lines or defensive lines in front of them. These are one-on-one drills to see that they can complete the passes that they need to. And yes, they're in shorts and T-shirts, and so you have to take that in consideration as well.
Right.
But you really have to understand what people are going out there to see is, first of all, does the player have any weaknesses? And second of all, do they even know that those weaknesses are actually there, and how do they try to improve upon them? I mean, Deshaun Watson, I don't think anybody can argue with this. He has great upper body strength. He can chuck the ball without having to even use his lower body.
Right.
But that is a problem when it comes to the NFL. You have to utilize your core, your hips, your legs to be able to throw the ball and throw it accurately and deep as well. It was definitely clear to Todd McShay, and I watched a little bit of the highlights, that Deshaun Watson has been working on his throwing mechanics. He's tried to initiate more use of his core, and Todd McShay definitely says, it was clear to everyone out there that this is, Deshaun Watson saw one of his weaknesses and definitely improved upon it.
Yeah.
Now, a few times he did revert to his old habits, and that's going to take time. It's just like a golf swing. You never get rid of that tweak in the golf swing that is affecting your golf swing until you practice the same shot that you need to do perfectly about a million times. And it's the same thing with throwing the football. But another takeaway from yesterday's pro day for Clemson was Deshaun Watson is totally obsessed. I mean, that is a compliment from any person who breaks down the NFL draft to say that one guy is obsessed about the game of football. Now, it's going to be also hard to see the correlation of how much determination he had in college to how that correlates into the NFL, because it is a totally different game.
Right.
And this is now your livelihood, whereas in college you have to worry about exams and going to class and making sure you're on time to certain meetings. Well,
now it's just groupies.
Well, yeah, now it's just now it's that.
Those women look at them gold diggers.
Yeah, definitely. It's you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how he's determined in the NFL to start early. I think that's an important thing to say. I mean, he shares a lot of the qualities in terms of determination and obsession of football with some of the top tier quarterbacks. You just have to be able to work hard and get into the same frame of mind that they are day in and day out. I mean, they're the great ones. We're talking about Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. Those are the great guys.
Right.
And the reason that they're so good is because they're the first one in the door and the last one out. And they live and breathe football. And Deshaun Watson shows that as well. He just has to continue that at the next level. But he really didn't differentiate himself as the number one overall quarterback in the pro day overall. Mike Williams, he did the 40-yard dash yesterday, and he ran a 4.53, 4.51. And so they kind of went through a range of between 4.49 and 4.56. That's slightly faster than the league thought he would run, so you got to believe this helps him out a little bit in the draft. Is he now the number one wide receiver in the draft? I don't think he's a lock. I don't think he's a lock because there are some other wide receivers like Corey Davis and like John Ross who could really make just as good as an argument as Mike Williams that they are the number one wide receiver in this NFL draft. Now, mm-hmm. In terms of the type of wide receiver going after, if you're looking for that big body wide receiver who can get down the field and can sky kind of like a DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Williams is that guy.
Yeah.
If you're looking for the speed guy like a DeSean Jackson who, you know, doesn't have the best route running but is one of the fastest individuals and has great hands, you're looking at John Ross. If you're looking at one of the guys who has just probably the best route running in this entire draft, just like a Larry Fitzgerald, you're looking at Corey Davis. So that's exactly what these NFL teams are starting to break down. Which type of wide receiver is going to fit best into our system? And then and Williams has to be up there in one of the top three wide receivers. So it's just if you believe that his tools can translate into the NFL and he can be an effective number one wide receiver on your team, then you take him in the top 10 picks. Finally, Wayne Gallman. Now, Wayne Gallman, he improved his 40-yard dash time, just slightly, though. At the combine, he ran a 4.60. He ran a 4.57 yesterday, so that's not wowing any team officials that were actually out there at Clemson's Pro Day. But he did show some solid pass-catching skills. He looked solid as a route runner, and that is something that is a strength for Wayne Gallman. So now we're looking at teams that are maybe not necessarily a run-first offense, that are teams that are going to use their running back more out of the backfield on screens and wheel routes and just short digs like the Green Bay Packers. I think that's the type of team that Wayne Gallman could probably thrive in, and he's versatile to not only be able to catch the ball out of the backfield, but he's versatile enough to be an effective run blocker for the quarterback and also be a good runner as well. So Wayne Gallman definitely improved his stock. I don't know if he comes out, I still think he'll probably be a third-round pick, more than likely. And so it'll be interesting to see where he goes. But I think overall, Clemson's got to be pretty proud of what their guys did at the Pro Day. We'll see how this affects their draft stock as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft. But we have a lot of college basketball to talk about. But before we get into all of that, today's day in birthdays and today's day in history, this being March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way, Wally.
Yes, indeed. I wish everybody the Irish blessing. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. And may the rain fall softly upon your fields, I believe, is how it goes.
Did you just make that up?
No, it's a classic. The reason I know that is because we sang that in a piece back in high school choir. So it embedded itself in my brain.
You never know when it comes right back to you.
Exactly. Archives come back.
Yeah, doing a sports radio show, and all of a sudden something from high school pops into your memory. It's something that you had never even thought of since then. That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
I start off in 1972, a great soccer player in the history of American soccer. She also led the U.S. women's soccer team to the gold medal in the 1996 Olympics as a forward. This is Mia Hamm, born on this day, March 17th, 1972. She also held the U.S. record for international goals with 158 in her career until she was topped just 4 years ago by Abby Wambach. And actually, Mia Hamm is from my hometown, and she played for the rival high school that I went to, so I'm not that big of a fan of Mia Hamm. But anyway, you got to be a fan of her if you like soccer. Also born this day, 1981, Kyle Korver, the NBA shooting guard, three-point specialist who has played. He now plays currently for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's also played for the Atlanta Hawks, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Utah Jazz, and the Chicago Bulls, and was named to his first NBA All-Star game 2 years ago while as a member of the Atlanta Hawks. Also born this day, 1986, Chris Davis, the MLB first baseman for the Baltimore Orioles, who had that breakout season in 2013 when he led all of Major League Baseball with 53 home runs and 138 RBIs. So happy birthday to Chris Davis, born this day, 1986. Finally, before I get into the sports birthday profile, born on this day, 1987, March 17th, NFL wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders, who started his career off with the Pittsburgh Steelers, now currently with the Denver Broncos, and he helped lead the Broncos to that Super Bowl 50 victory over the Carolina Panthers. That leads me to my sports birthday profile. So, Wally, tell us who our celebrity birthdays are today.
It's really funny. In reality TV, she's become her own star, if you will, but she's still better known as Toni Braxton's sexy younger sister. Tamar Braxton is 40. Kiefer Thompson, he is in the country duo Thompson Square with his wife Shauna. He is 41 today. Happy birthday to Kiefer Thompson. Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins is a big old 50 today. The big
Title
for him. Isn't that crazy? Smashing Pumpkins. Wow, where are they now, right? And you know, Billy was a huge pro wrestling fan. He actually had worked with WWE's weak sauce competitor, TNA, but that didn't last that long.
Really?
Yeah. And Rob Lowe is 53, my fellow Ohioan, who currently plays Dr. Ethan Willis on Cold Black, and he's played a bunch of other stuff and played even more women in his lifetime. One of my favorite actors. We know him as Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump.
Lieutenant Dan.
He's also currently playing Agent Jack Garrett on the new spinoff of Criminal Minds, Beyond Borders. Gary Sinise is 62 today.
Great actor.
Yeah. Snake Plissken is 66 today. Kurt Russell. Snake is that's who he plays in Escape from New York, in Escape from L.A. He's also MacReady in The Thing and Stuntman Mike and Death Proof. And he gets to sleep with Goldie Hawn all the time. So,
I don't know if that's a good thing anymore.
And the daughter, what's their daughter's name? Kate Hudson is their daughter. She's a babe. Kurt Russell is 66 today. Happy birthday to Kurt Russell. And lastly, Patty Boyd is 73. You're probably saying, who's Patty Boyd? Well, she is the lady that this song is all about. George Clapton's Layla, George Harrison, the Beatle, and Eric Clapton actually were in a fight for her. They had a guitar off, and Eric Clapton with a slow hand won. And the song Layla is about Patty Boyd. She turns 73 today.
Interesting.
For you. Yeah. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, good old classic song like that one.
So her name was Patty Boyd?
Patty Boyd's a real
name.
And
they named the song Layla.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to dig into that and find out why. But
yeah, I don't know. That's funny, though.
Layla. I'm not sure how that goes.
I don't know.
Who's our profile this morning?
On this day, back in 1914, March 17th, Sammy Ball was born this day. An NFL player and coach. And He most notably played quarterback, but also played defensive back and punter. Played college football for the Horned Frogs of TCU, where he was a two-time All-American. Then he played in the NFL for the Washington Redskins from 1937 to 1952. And then served as a head coach for Hardin-Simmons University, the New York Titans, and the Houston Oilers as well. But he led the Washington Redskins to winning the NFL championship in 1937 and 1942 and was named the NFL Player of the Year by the Washington, D.C. Touchdown Club in 1947-1948 for his play. In both of his Player of the Year seasons, he led the NFL in completions, attempts, completion percentage, and yards. And in 1947, he also led the league in passing touchdowns, interception percentage, and passer rating. Now, as I mentioned, you know, primarily known for his passing prowess, he led the league in completion percentage 7 times, passing yards 4 times, and an NFL record 6 times in passer rating, among other statistics. But he was also known for his versatility. He had the ability to play at a high level as a punter as well, and even as a defensive back. Now, throughout his career, he led the league in yards per punt 5 times, as well as yardage in 1943, a year in which he also led the league in defensive interceptions with 11. That's incredible. So the same year that he led the league in punt average, He led the league in defensive interceptions and also was the quarterback of the Washington Redskins as well.
Wow.
That's incredible. But his yards per punt of 51.4 yards per punt during the 1940 season still stands as an NFL record as of 2016. He was inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in a 17-member charter class of 1963 and was also selected to the NFL's 75th anniversary all-time team in 1994. Two-time Super Bowl champion, one-time Pro Bowl attendee in 1951, six-time first-team All-Pro member, two-time NFL Player of the Year, and you know the accolades keep going. And he was also at TCU a consensus All-American in 1936. And that leads us to the day in history. And Wally, I start off in 1908.
Well, of course, we must start off with the history of St. Patrick's Day, if you will.
Yeah.
1,585 years ago, it was the year of 432. 432, that's right. St. Patrick died. Well, sort of. It was uncertain whether he passed away on March 8th or March 9th, so the church officials added the dates, making it St. Patrick's Day, March 17th.
How witty.
Isn't that crazy? And to this day, they're still looking for the pot of gold, my friend. And then I go to 1889 from there.
You have the next one as well.
In 1889, 120 years ago, the Irish-born John Holland invented the modern submarine for the U.S. military.
Wow.
His sub submerged off Staten Island, New York for 3 hours without even an ounce of baking soda. As a matter of fact, just, you know, it sort of floated.
There's a lot of ships being built in Ireland.
Oh, yes, there is.
So the first submarine was built by an Irishman. The Titanic was built by the Irish.
Yep.
I never knew that there was such a ship-building history with the country of Ireland.
No ship.
Oh, man. There was a P on the end of that, ladies and gentlemen. There was on the end of that.
No ship.
What year do you have next, Wally?
And then I go to 85 from there.
1985?
Yep.
All right, I have 1908 is my first one. It is actually on this day what was the quickest world heavyweight title fight, where Burns knocked out Roche in 88 seconds. So I went and found the top five fastest knockouts in all of pro boxing.
Ooh, cool.
Number five is Nassim Hamed beats Saeed Lawal in 35 seconds. Number four is, I'm going to butcher this name, Pongsak Lek Wangjak Kam beats Dasuki Naito in 34 seconds. Man, did pretty good with that one. Here's a name we know. Number three is Bernard Hopkins beating Steve Frank in 24 seconds. Number two is Gerald McClellan, who beat Jay Bell in 20 seconds. And the fastest fight to ever end in professional boxing was when Daniel Jimenez beat Gerald Guerrier, or Gier, I don't even know how to say that name, in 17 seconds. 17 seconds, Wally. A fight ended in pro boxing. That is incredible. My next one is 1963, and that is the year that Bob Cozy played his last NBA game on this day, March 17th. Bob Cozy is a member of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. He played point guard for the Boston Celtics between 1950 and 1963, and then briefly for the Cincinnati Royals in the 1969-1970 season. He was a member of the College of Holy Cross, where he led the Crusaders to berths in the 1948 NCAA tournament and the 1950 NCAA tournament, and was named an NCAA All-American for three seasons. You know, he had an unprecedented couple years where he actually, for eight straight seasons, led the NBA in assists. And he played on six NBA championship teams and was voted into 13 NBA All-Star games in his 13 full seasons. He was also named to 12 NBA All-First and Second teams and won the NBA's MVP award in 1957. So on this day, March 17th, 1963,
neat,
Bob Cozy plays his last game in the NBA. I then go to 88 is my final one.
1985, 32 years ago, the first vaccine for chickenpox was approved in the U.S. Did you get chickenpox growing up?
Oh, yeah. I got it real bad.
I'm lucky. I didn't get measles, didn't get chickenpox, but I did get the mumps.
Oof.
I mean, the good thing is about not getting chickenpox is I won't be a candidate for what you see those commercials. They scare the death out of you about, what's that, scales?
I forgot what you're saying. I know what you're talking about, though.
Gosh. What's that called?
I don't know.
But that horrible rash that seems like so painful, like a shark's biting you or something.
Yeah, it's supposedly
But for those who did get the chicken pox, I heard that a lot of kids played connect the dots with their chicken pox. So they took a little pin.
I always, when I was growing up, got majorly sick right around Christmas time.
You wanted more gifts. You were milking it.
Maybe. But I got the chicken pox at Christmas. Ooh. I had the flu multiple years in a row.
I had that once or twice on Christmas.
But, the chicken pox, it was just a part of growing up. I feel like everyone I knew got chicken pox except for Wally B.
That's hilarious. Crazy.
So my final one, Wally, is in 1988. On this day, March 17th, 1988, they had the highest scoring NCAA basketball game. And it was between Loyola Marymount, who scored 119 points, against Wyoming, who scored 115 points. Now, this record only lasted four seasons. Four seasons.
What?
So the most points scored in an NCAA basketball game was scored by Troy during a 258-141 thrashing of DeVry. I thought DeVry was that online school.
Yeah,
technical school.
Well, that's hilarious.
Supposedly they have a basketball team, and they got thrashed by Troy. 258-141, and that was back in 1992, right at the beginning of January. So no longer is Loyola Marymount versus Wyoming the highest scoring NCAA basketball game. That now resides with Troy versus DeVry.
Wow.
DeVry, come on. Play a better schedule than DeVry University, the online school. Come on. That's ridiculous.
That's hilarious.
You have any more?
Last one. 1999 was the year, 18 years ago, when a panel of experts concluded that marijuana has medical benefits for people suffering from cancer and AIDS. But it seems that somebody who was smoking forgot about it until recent times. So, way back then they knew it had some properties that could be beneficial. And now, of course, still in debate. Not in some states, but in others. But according to the federal government, nope, don't do it. Just say no.
No to dope.
Right, no
George
to dope.
Wrightson, we were looking for the word shingles.
That's the word.
That's the word.
That's it, shingles.
Scales
ouch,
is
ouch,
more like
ouch.
It, yeah.
Scales, tiles, shingles, they all seem the same in the carpentry industry anyway. But, man, I've had some family members have that, and it's quite painful.
Cannot imagine.
So I wish that upon nobody.
Let's tell the folks what they're hearing on today's show. We already went through Clemson's Pro Day as the three big names for Clemson got some pretty good workouts yesterday and really impressed a lot of the NFL scouts. We'll also review day one of the NCAA tournament and also give you the standings for our NCAA group on TeamMyrtleBeach.com. You can go ahead and check out there on our website the standings right now. We will talk about which teams played the best on day one. We'll go through the best games of today. I think there's some pretty darn good games today. We'll go through that. We'll also preview the baseball weekend for Coastal Carolina as they travel out to the state of Texas to take on Texas State. Wally B's World of Sports is back, so he will start off the 8 o'clock hour. We will have Captain E of the Southern Anglers Radio Show in studio to give us some fishing tips and talk about what they're going to talk about on tomorrow's show, and also hear about some events going on in the Grand Strand revolving around fishing. We will also have our Pick'em contest today as it is Friday. No college basketball today. I'm going to stick away from college basketball. A, I don't want to jinx my own picks. And B, we don't know who's playing on Saturday or Sunday yet. And so we're gonna do straight NBA games for the entire weekend, where you, the listener, get to take on Wally B and myself in six games, and also two additional picks in those games. So eight total picks in our Pick'em contest. That's going to go ahead and wrap up the second hour of today's show. Going through the polls on Twitter for you. Only two today, but definitely want to hear from you. What team played the best on day one of March Madness? Was it Xavier and their big win yesterday over Maryland? I mean, that was such a bad game for Maryland, but Xavier really played well. Middle Tennessee and their big upset over Minnesota. Was it Wisconsin and their pretty good game that they played against Virginia Tech? Or if there's another team that you believe played the best yesterday, let us know on Twitter at 100 through the team. The other poll is, what is today's best NCAA basketball game? I wrote down three and gave you the option, if you vote for other, to tell us which one. But the three that I think are the best are number 7 Dayton versus number 10 Wichita State, number 7 South Carolina versus number 10 Marquette, and number 7 Michigan versus number 10 Oklahoma State. See a little trend right there?
Oh,
the
7-10
matchups.
Uh-huh.
I have a feeling those are going to be the best games of today. So go on Twitter at 100 through the team. Let us know. Also, phone line's going to be wide open for you today, 843-652-3776. We want to hear from you. What takeaways do you have from day one of college basketball? We're going to get into that discussion coming up after this commercial break.
Today is St. Patrick's Day, which means tomorrow morning a lot of people will be doing the Walk of Seamus.
I'm from an Irish family. St. Patrick's Day was our big holiday. The night before, we'd hang up our stockings. In the morning, they'd be full of beer.
I'm from a big family. Yeah, well, not by Irish standards. Only 6 kids.
Live shows are the only thing that slowed down my drinking.
Drinking on the job is always pinheaded.
I'm Irish. I keep things very bottled up.
I liked you better when you were drinking.
I think you may have had one too many.
What are you talking about? Getting drunk is a holiday tradition.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. Pat Payone and Wally hanging out with you. And I got to let you know our presenting sponsor of The Drive is HTC. HTC, this is life. Connect with it. And it doesn't matter if you're a power user, accustomed to lightning-fast downloads, or someone who just needs to check your email, HTC High-Speed Internet has a plan and pricing perfect for you. HTC High-Speed Internet has installation and 24/7 tech support all for free, no hidden equipment fees. And for more details, you can call HTC High-Speed Internet at 843-369-8982. HTC, this is life. Connect with it. What a day one. And people are going to say, it wasn't that great. We didn't have any buzzer beaters. But there was some pretty darn good basketball yesterday. And I think there were some pretty good teams that really showed up yesterday. So let's talk about some of the best teams, best performances by teams yesterday. Well, first of all, got to say the best day overall has to go to the Northwestern Wildcats. You can't say anybody had a better day than Northwestern. Not only was this their first tournament game ever, they won it in a two-point thriller. So it's very interesting, to see Northwestern actually.
They would have lost if that guy wouldn't have been a dummy.
He's an idiot. He's an idiot. And you know, you have to know the situation you're in. But, we can say he's the moment got to him and he just could not handle the situation. And
as coach always says, keep your head in the game. Know what's going on. He thought they were behind and he thought he had the foul. So they go up by 1 point. He fouls the guy. The guy goes to the line to hit two and wins the game.
Oh, yeah.
I got the audio here. Check this out.
LeChance on the attack. LeChance gets it to go. You got to attack quickly. Northwestern does have a timeout. And Fisher Davis fouls McIntosh.
He had no idea.
He had no idea. He actually just pointed to his head. I'm sorry, I didn't know what I was doing.
He thought either they were down. He thought they were down. Or he thought they had a foul to give.
Coach is looking at him like, I'm going to kill you.
Drew cannot believe it. No one in the building can.
He thought they were down or that they had a foul to give. I'm guessing he thought they were down.
It'll be two shots for McIntosh, the team's leading free throws.
And they go on to win the game.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. I mean, you got to know the situation you're in. Yeah, your emotions are high, but you definitely need to know exactly what's going on. If you think you're down and you're not, that definitely had an effect on the entire game. But Brian McIntosh, he was dialed in. He hit 25 points on 16 attempts. And they could, they're loose now. They got it out of the way, their first ever victory in the tournament. And so they could be a handful when they meet up with the Zags of Gonzaga on Saturday. Some other teams that I think just had great days. Wisconsin played a great game. I mean, they exchanged haymakers with the Hokies of Virginia Tech. But Bronson Koenig showed up in a big way with 28 points. And this is a team that has a lot of tournament experience. And so we could possibly see Wisconsin give Villanova a tough game as well coming up in the second round on Saturday.
Yeah.
I also believe that, I was surprised with the offense out of West Virginia. Did I think that they would be able to do what they did yesterday? I was texting a buddy, and I said, where has this offense been for West Virginia all year long? And he said, I know. I just saw the score, and I can't believe that there's 8 minutes left, and they've already scored 60 points. I haven't seen this all year. Well, yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. West Virginia wins based on their defense, but they really played. I mean, they pulled down 42% of their misses. And that's really what was the determining factor, was that they were rebounding so well last night, yesterday. And it'll be a very interesting game between them and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish as well. I think Xavier had a big upset yesterday. I really thought Maryland would show up for at least one game. Well, Mello Trimble did not, and everyone else on the Maryland Terrapins followed his suit as Xavier played. They played a good game. They played a good game. But Maryland played a bad game, and so I'll say Xavier is also a big winner from yesterday. How about the Arizona Wildcats? If you didn't stay up late, they thrashed number 15 seed North Dakota, and they should. But If you're now waking up and you're now hearing the name Lauri Markkanen, he is going to be staying in this NCAA tournament. He's a 7-foot freshman. He had 20 points, and he did most of it inside the paint. You know, St. Mary's, you know, it's going to be a very interesting matchup between Arizona and St. Mary's next round, because I don't know if there's anybody who can contend with the size and the abilities of Lauri Markkanen. So I got to believe that Arizona was a big winner as well. Finally, Middle Tennessee State, huge winner. Huge winner. I mean, they again made history that has happened for us the last couple of seasons, where a 12 beat a 5, but a lot of people were betting on this 12 over 5 upset. They were actually the betting favorite. They get to advance into the second round for the second straight season. I mean, Minnesota, they got Minnesota into serious foul trouble, and that was really the catalyst, as Reggie Upshaw, Giddy Potts, and the rest of the Blue Raiders took advantage of those guys being on the bench because of foul trouble. But you don't believe that they will be a favorite against Butler, although I have picked them to pull the upset again on Butler and be this year's Cinderella story. I like how Middle Tennessee State played yesterday. I think they're a very strong team, and they could make a pretty good run in this NCAA tournament. One last one for you. I thought that VCU-St. Mary's game was pretty good. Back and forth with St. Mary's getting a big, and then VCU being able to come back, get it down within five, and then St. Mary's put the foot on the throat towards the end. And it was all because of Jock Landale, who had 18 points, 13 rebounds. And so that's going to be a good matchup between Jock Landale and Lauri Markkanen. But you got to believe that Arizona just has too much in terms of talent for the St. Mary's Gales. Going to the poll real quick, what team played the best on day one of March Madness? I got to say, it's Middle Tennessee State. And that is how the poll is going right now as well. 63% say Middle Tennessee State. I'm getting some funny. 13% say Wisconsin, 13% say Xavier, 11% say other, and that other vote is from Bob. He says Northwestern. They're undefeated in March Madness. Yep, they're 1-0 all time in March Madness. So, yeah, congratulations to Northwestern. Kevin writes in, my 9-year-old and my wife are crushing me in the bracket already. The 9-year-old only missed one pick. I'll never live this down. That is a hard thing to live down, Kevin, as your 9-year-old and your wife are beating you. But that's the glory of March Madness.
You never don't have
to
know.
You don't have to know a single thing. You
that's
don't.
Right, that's right.
And often, if you know too much, it's to your detriment. Now, to go to our leaderboard for our $1 Million Madness Bracket Challenge on TeamMyrtleBeach.com. And again, you can go on TeamMyrtleBeach.com, click out or check the standings. They constantly update. We are down. And by the way, we had 124 entries, which is the most we've ever had. So thank you very much for getting in on this. Again, if you have a perfect bracket, that's $1 Million Bracket. Number one overall bracket will get a 50-inch flat-screen TV, courtesy of Backyard Sports Bar and Grill. The other top five winners will get some great prizes, courtesy of Budweiser through Backyard Sports Bar and Grill. But right now, Wally, we have 124 entries after one day.
Nice.
We are down to two perfect brackets. So two people. Woo! Rich F27 is his screen name. He had a perfect first day.
Wow.
And also Scoop a de Bop. That's your screen name as well.
I love it.
Also had a perfect bracket.
Crazy.
Perfect day one. I am currently with four misses on day one in 56th place. So I'm right in the middle.
I'm also perfect because I didn't fill one out.
Because you didn't fill one. All right, we got a phone call?
Yes, we have Jonathan from Conway. He wants to talk about the Northwestern game.
Yeah, Jonathan, go right ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you.
I just wanted to call because I guess the way everybody's talking about this kid's mistake, that Northwestern was going to go down there and make a basket. I mean, they still had to score.
Yeah.
And if they would have scored, probably they wouldn't have had any time left on the game. I know it was a foolish foul, but by being ahead with 13 seconds, I guess, it gave them at least an opportunity to come back and score.
Right.
But, you know, everyone's just assuming, even, you know, the announcers on TVs, that they were going to go down there, make the basket, and win the game. So I just want to hear your comments on that, and I'll go.
I really appreciate the phone call. And I'm not saying, you know, this entire loss is on that one player, because also you went down the court and shot a three when you're down by one, when you could have drove the lane and maybe gotten a foul, tied the game up, and even taken the lead, making two foul shots. So there was multiple issues with how that game ended for Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And I picked Vandy. I thought that they were going to be able to win this game. You know, the Northwestern Wildcats would come in a little shy, a little gun shy, because it's their first ever NCAA tournament game. But Northwestern showed the grit and the gut to hold on at the end. And whether you want to blame it on the player who fouled unnecessarily the Vanderbilt player or the Northwestern player, or whether you want to say it's on the coach. Yeah. I want to say it's on the coach. I mean, first of all, you have to tell these players what the situation is, and then you have to put them in the right position to not foul, but also go down the court and do something where you're only down by one. You didn't need a three-pointer, and the guy went down there and just shot up a three.
Good point. He should be hollering out the scenarios. Okay, now if this happens, don't foul.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. But congratulations to Rich F27 and Scoop It to Pop. They are tied for first place right now with a perfect bracket. There is a list of people who only missed one yesterday. Again, I missed four, and I'm currently in 56th place. You can go on to TeamMyrtleBeach.com and check out the standings for yourself. I will continue to go over the standings throughout the rest of the tournament. When we come back, some great games today. We already went over the great games of yesterday. Let's go over the great games of today and rank them. Top five games of today in college basketball. That's coming up on The Drive.
This week's show has been brought to you by St. Patrick's Day, the day to get your bagpipes blown and your blarney stoned.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Top of the morning to you.
There you go. Happy Irish Day, everybody.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. Almost 44 minutes past the hour. And we went through some of the great performances yesterday in the NCAA tournament. Let's preview today's by going over the best games of Friday's first round games. And I think there's really a whole list of great games today, but I wrote down six. And so, Wally, take it away first with our honorable mention game.
Our honorable mention game is number six, SMU, yep, versus number 11, Southern California.
That is, I think that could be an interesting game depending on what Southern California team shows up. Is it the team that just shot out of their minds against Providence and came back from that ridiculous game? Or is it, the Southern California team that we saw a lot this season that just could not really play defense or offense consistently? So I think that's a pretty interesting game. That's why I just have it as an honorable mention. But I think there's five games that really jump off the page to me as the best games of the day. Let's start the top five.
Top five. We're going 5-1, though, right?
Yeah, we'll go 5-1.
Number 8, Miami, taking on number 9, Michigan State.
This has got to be one of the best games of the day because of the matchup of coaches. Jim Larranega of Miami versus Tom Izzo of Michigan State. Two historically great coaches that have gotten the most out of their teams in the recent years. But also, two teams that are right now on some losing streaks. Miami has lost three of their last four games, and they lost to North Carolina, Florida State, Virginia Tech, all in the tournament, whereas Michigan State has lost three of their last four games to Minnesota and Maryland, two of those losses, two teams in the tournament. Now, this is also going to pit up against one of the nation's worst offenses in Miami. They're ranked nationally 209th, and they score 69 points per game against one of the nation's top 70 defenses, with Michigan State ranked at 64, and they give up 68 points a game. So it's going to be a very interesting, probably defensive battle, but it's really going to come down to these coaches and how much they can really get out of these players and their strategy that comes into play late in this game. In the bracket, I took Miami predominantly. I do have one bracket where I took Michigan State. I just think Miami has a little bit more talent, and this is not the year for Michigan State. They seem to be just dwindling a little bit. Number four,
we have number six, Creighton. Did they say Creighton? Creighton?
Yeah, Creighton.
Creighton! For Creighton out loud. They're number six. They're taking on number 11, Rhode Island.
This is one of my big upsets. I picked the Rhode Island Rams to pull the upset of number six, Creighton. And the reason is Rhode Island has not lost in the last month. They are on an 8-game winning streak, and I always believe in the hottest teams coming into the tournament usually prevail, at least in the first couple rounds, because they ride that momentum wave. Creighton, they have three wins in the last five games, and their last two losses are to tournament teams in Marquette and Villanova. Now, this is going to be also a very interesting contrast of teams, because right now, in terms of the ranking and rebounding, Rhode Island is a top 70 team in terms of NCAA basketball rankings for rebounding. Creighton is 177th. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how Creighton will be able to handle Rhode Island on the boards. And also, you got to take into consideration in terms of the 3-point contest. You know, Creighton would win that one. So you got to believe that the Rhode Island's advantage here is down in the paint, and they'll be using that tremendously throughout the game. That's why I like Rhode Island. I think that they've come together the last month of the season, got everyone back from suspension and back from injuries. That's why I believe Rhode Island pulls the upset on Creighton. Number three, Wally.
Number seven, Michigan, taking on number 10, Oklahoma State.
Michigan is on one hell of a run right now, winning the Big Ten championship as they were a very low seed in that tournament. But they've won five of the last six games. Their only loss in the last six games was torn to Northwestern, a tournament team, and that was on a last-second shot. Oklahoma State has lost three games in a row now, and they've lost all three to tournament teams. They lost twice to Iowa State and once to Kansas. Now, this is going to be very interesting because the rebounding in this one is so lopsided as well. Michigan is ranked 261st in the nation in rebounding, Oklahoma State 95th. However, if it comes down to a shooting contest, like I just said with that last matchup between Creighton and Rhode Island, Michigan, it should be a much closer contest because Michigan is ranked 23rd from long range, Oklahoma State 41st. Both these teams put up a lot of points. Both these teams kind of give up a lot of points as well. But I think Michigan, just on the ride that they've been since that plane going off the airstrip.
Tarmac.
Yeah, the tarmac. Since that, they played like a team possessed. And I think Michigan rides that to another victory over Oklahoma State. That's number three. Let's go to number two.
The Gamecocks of South Carolina, number seven. They're taking on number 10, Marquette.
The reason I have this as number two is because we don't know what South Carolina team and we don't know what Marquette team shows up. South Carolina is a very good defensive team, and they do struggle sometimes on offense, but their offense runs through two different players. That's Sindarius Thornwell and P.J. Dozier. If those two guys are off, there's no chance for South Carolina to get this win.
Yeah.
Now, Marquette is very interesting. They are a full team right now. They're scoring 83 points per game, giving up 75, so definitely a contrast in styles as well, with Marquette up and down the court scoring as much as they can, not really worrying too much about defense, and South Carolina, where the offense runs through two players, and they really put a lot of emphasis on defense. South Carolina has won two of their last seven games, including losses to Florida, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas, all tournament teams, and Marquette comes into this tournament winning four of their last six games. So two teams on two different trajectories here. I picked South Carolina in a couple of my brackets. I'm not positive on that one. That's why I think this is one of the best games. It's because we don't know what we're going to see from either team.
Okay.
Number one.
Pat Payton's pick for the number one game today, round one of March Madness. Number seven, Dayton against number 10, Wichita State.
And the reason I have this is because Wichita State is not a 10 seed, ladies and gentlemen. They are on a 15-game winning streak. They should not have been ranked a 10 seed. I'm picking the upset. I don't think that's really an upset at all. Yeah. A lot of people are picking Wichita State to get this win. And Dayton's coming in on a two-game losing streak, but Dayton has the ability to really surprise some teams this year. They play so-so defense, but they play great offense. They really do. They are, in terms of three-point percentage or three-point makes, they're making about 8 three-pointers a game, where Wichita State is also making about 8 three-pointers a game. Now, Wichita State is also one of the best rebound teams in the nation. They are ranked 5th in the entire nation in rebounds.
Yeah.
Dayton, 197th. I think this is a pretty one-sided matchup in this one. But I think this could have the potential to be one of those games that comes down to the end, and I believe Wichita State gets the big win at the end. Going to the poll real quick, what is today's best NCAA basketball game? Number 7, USC, South Carolina versus number 10, Marquette, is the resounding winner right now, the leader. 63% of the votes say that game. 25% say Michigan versus Oklahoma State is the best game of the day, and 13% say Dayton versus Wichita State. For my money, I'm watching that Dayton-Wichita State. I have a lot on the line with that one in a different pool. But also, I picked Wichita State in every one of my brackets. I don't see Dayton being able to win this game, but I think it has the potential to be the best game of the day. Continue to go on Twitter, at 100 through the team. Continue to vote on our polls. Let us know what you're thinking. Also, get in on the conversation, 843-652-3776. We definitely want to hear from you. When we come back from this commercial break, Coastal Carolina gets their Sun Belt Conference slate underway in baseball. They're traveling out to San Marcos, Texas to take on Texas State. We'll preview that matchup coming up on The Drive.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, and welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. Pat Payone and Wally B hanging out with you. And this weekend, Coastal Carolina Baseball, they get their Sun Belt Conference slate started by traveling out to San Marcos, Texas to take on Texas State. Coastal Carolina coming into this matchup 11-7 overall, 10-7 at home, 1-0 on the road. So this is their second road game, second, third, and fourth road games of the season. Texas State comes in with a 10-7 record with a winning streak of 4. They are 9-5 at home and 1-2 on the road. Now, some pitching matchups, some great pitching matchups, by the way. Friday we'll have Connor Reich of Texas State. He is 1-1 with a 5.17 ERA, and when the Chanticleers will throw out their right-handed stud Alice Cunningham, who has he's 2-0 with a 3.51 ERA. Saturday, Wes Engel, who is 2-0 and has a 4.03 ERA on the season, is taking on Andrew Beckwith, who's 0-1 with a 7.84 ERA. And then Sunday's matchup will be Nicholas Fraze, who's 2-1, 5.95 ERA, versus Jason Billis. He's 2-0 with a 4.29 ERA. Now, looking at the Chanticleers, they have four batters that are currently batting over 282 on the season. Matt Beard is batting 282. Kevin Woodall Jr. is batting 284 with 9 home runs, 24 RBIs. Now, that 9 home runs, that is leading all of the NCAA. He has the most home runs in the entire nation right now.
Nice.
As Woody Woodall Jr. He is also tied 8th nationally in RBIs with 24.
Georgetown product.
Yes, sir. Wood Myers is batting 291 on the season with 3 home runs, 20 RBIs. Peyton Isaacson is batting 313 with 2 home runs, 11 RBIs. And Billy Cook's leading everybody, batting 340, 3 home runs, 10 RBIs. Now, there's 5 batters on Texas State that are batting over 300, starting with Jared Huber, who is actually batting right at 300. He has 4 RBIs on the season. Jalen Hubbard is a name you probably will know after this weekend. He's batting 300 with 12 RBIs. Jacob Almendarez, that's a hard one, 356 he's batting with 10 RBIs. Theodore Hoffman, he's batting 373 with 5 home runs and 15 RBIs. And leading everybody for Texas State is Jonathan Ortega. He is batting just under 400 at 394 with 2 home runs and 16 RBIs. Should be a good matchup, and this will really tell us a lot about Coastal Carolina and the Sun Belt. Now, Texas State's a good team, but Coastal Carolina needs to get their Sun Belt slate started well, and they will do that when they throw their 3 aces on the mound. Alex Cunningham on Friday, Saturday will be Andrew Beckwith, Sunday Jason Billis, and you'll be able to hear all that action on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team, over the weekend. Good luck to the Chanticleers as they make their trip out of Texas.
The home of Coastal Carolina and the Carolina Panthers. This is WSEA Atlantic Beach, Myrtle Beach. Cumulus Broadcasting, Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Hour 2 of The Drive is brought to you by Air Mechanical. Get a new high-efficient Amana system today. Air Mechanical, we're in your neighborhood.
Good.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team, with your boys, Pat Payone and Wally B.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team, on this Friday, March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day. This is hour 2 of The Drive. And whether you're listening on your radio at 100.3 FM, streaming it live through our website, teammyrtlebeach.com, or listening through the free app, the Sports Radio 100.3, The Team app, we welcome you to today's show, and thank you for listening. And if you missed hour number one, here's a little recap for you. We already talked about Clemson's Pro Day and Deshaun Watson impressing some people with his throwing ability and his love for the game. Mike Williams ran a pretty good 40. He impressed some scouts as well. And Wayne Gallman had a pretty impressive Pro Day as well, being able to really show his abilities and catching the ball to the backfield. So all three of those guys had great Pro Days. I don't know if it really affects too much of their stock in the NFL draft. Well, you know, a team's going to have to fall in love with these guys to really take them high. Yeah, we will see, though. We talked about that. We also talked about day one of the NCAA tournament and some of the big winners in terms of teams. Northwestern's got to be a big winner with their first ever NCAA tournament game and getting a win in that game. And also, in terms of the poll on Twitter, people are still voting for Middle Tennessee State. 64% say Middle Tennessee, the Blue Raiders, played the best on day one of March Madness. We also went through today, day two of the NCAA tournament, the best games of day two. And right now, 67% say number 7 South Carolina versus number 10 Marquette. I put my vote down for number 7 Dayton versus number 10 Wichita State. I think that has the potential to be the best game, but you guys are voting right now for South Carolina versus Marquette. Good luck to the Gamecocks in that one. That's hard for me to say, by the way. Also, we just went over and previewed Coastal Carolina baseball starting their weekend matchup against Texas State. That's going to open up the Sun Belt. Happy St. Patrick's Day, and he is back, so it is back. It is Wally B's World of Sports.
It's time for Wally B's World of Sports. Life is a sport. Play it like a winner.
It is so good to be back with my radio family after having to Ohio to put to rest my beloved brother, Dominic Berlin Jerry Sr. May he rest in peace, but hey.
Well, we're happy to have you back as well, Wally.
Good to be back, man. Thanks to all for all the comments, the text, the calls, I can't thank you enough. I mean, it's amazing what a little comment from people that we know, and even those we don't know that well on Facebook, how comforting that is that people take that moment and do that. Just know that when you do that every day for people, because every day in life, things are happening to people. So do that, because that makes people feel good. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, you never know what someone's going through, and how even a little, hope you're doing well message.
Yeah, just from happy birthday today to anything, man, it means so much. I want to let you know that. It really warmed my heart, so I can't thank you enough. But moving on with life, as life does move on indeed. March Madness. I feel so out of it. Of course, didn't see any TV, any radio for 5 days. When my family mourns, we shut all media off, and we gather together, and we eat a lot of comfort food. So I'm hurting in a lot of other ways, too. Trust me. But yeah, March Madness going on, and of course, our late night guys got some things to say, and Kimmel put one out there that I thought you'd like.
March Madness is already beginning. Warren Buffett, the billionaire, is offering his employees, if one of his more than 367,000 employees at his company, Berkshire Hathaway, correctly picks all the teams that make it to the Sweet 16, that person gets $1 million a year for life.
Yes!
Well, not you guys. You have to work there. The winner of our NCAA pool gets like a $25 gift card to Olive Garden. That is a very generous, I mean, nobody will win it, but it sounds like a great way to make all your coworkers hate one person, though. And what do you say if you win? Thanks, boss, I quit.
Yeah, of course, that's from a couple of weeks ago, but I thought I would share that with you again. And also, moving on with March Madness. You know, if your team makes the finals of the tournament, how much would it cost you to go see every game in person?
So all six games, if they won from the first round of the national championship?
Someone ran the numbers of all 32 teams that are at least an 8 seed.
Okay.
No team higher than that has ever won the tournament, so they didn't bother with the rest, okay? So they factored in ticket prices, gas, hotels, and flights, and they went with the cheapest tickets you can currently get for each game, so definitely not courtside. Let's go ahead and say that.
Okay? Still being there seeing it, saying that you were able to be there.
Depending on who you're rooting for, 8 seed or higher, it would cost anywhere from $2,400 to $3,600 to see your team play in every round of the tournament. The average for all 32 teams they looked at is $3,012. Now, St. Mary's is the cheapest to follow. It would cost you $2,354 to see every game. They're a number 7 seed and beat VCU yesterday. The Oregon Ducks would be the most expensive team to follow at $3,602. The cheapest number 1 seed to follow is Kansas at $2,435. The rest of the number 1 seeds are the University of North Carolina at $3,233, Villanova at $3,273, and Gonzaga at $3,297. So if you were able to see your teams, those are your teams. Now, that's not a whole lot of money if you think about it. So see all that great basketball. I thought it'd be a lot more than that. It's not too bad.
Plus, people will spend that money to go see, even like a Northwestern team who's never been there. They'll spend that money to go just even go to one game.
Yeah, so you were there. It's one of those events of the year that you want to say, yeah, I went there once. It's a bucket list thing that you want at least check out at least one time. I have been there twice thanks to my Ohio University Bobcats back in my college era when we made the tournament, winning the MAC back then when I was the Ohio U Bobcat.
I've been to an entire a one-day session in Charlotte when, I can't believe it, I think it was like 4 years ago, and they had the actual tournament, the opening round games in Charlotte. Me and my buddy went and stayed the entire day and went to all, I think they had like 4 games or something like that, or 8 games.
Nice.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun. I've never been to actually see Appalachian State because they never make it.
My senior year, I'll go ahead and give the year, so everyone knows that I'm an old guy. It was 85.
Oof.
We won the MAC. We beat, I believe it was Illinois State in Florida. Then we traveled to Notre Dame's campus to take on Kansas State and Danny Manning.
Oh wow!
And it was crazy. It was incredible to be in that arena. Got to see the Sistine Chapel. We took the tour.
Yeah.
And during pregame, I was in my Bobcat uniform and I'm doing shots on the court. And I went to chase the ball and I fell because the mascot suits are quite cumbersome.
Yeah.
And as I fell, I actually fell into somebody. It was head coach of Notre Dame, Digger Phelps.
Wow.
He actually helped me get up, picked me up. He dusted me off and he said, "You okay, Bobcat?" And I was like, OMG, that's Digger Phelps.
Yeah.
Nice guy. It was so sweet of him. That was
awesome.
Cool. That's my brush with college basketball fame, if you will. Moving on to pro basketball. The Chicago Bulls had some awful news to announce yesterday. D. Wade is out for the season.
Yeah.
After injuring his right elbow during the loss to the Grizzlies on Wednesday night. Now, after the news broke, Wade went on Snapchat to let his fans know that he's already starting rehab and that he'll be okay, that, you know, these things happen and life has just got to keep on keeping on. I have that here somewhere. Where did I put it?
So I know you guys heard the news about my injury. News about injuries is always tough, especially when it's the season. But as you guys see, I'm already starting my rehab process. But my goal is to make sure I rehab and do what's best to make sure that I'm healthy and that I can throw those long passes that I love to throw, length of the court. But all in all, I appreciate the text message, the support, the love that I'm getting. And thank you guys, but I'll be okay. You know, things happen in life. And as they say, what doesn't kill you make you stronger. And I'm a strong man. So I want to thank everybody again. Bless up.
Bless up.
Indeed. Let me just add something to that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I want to thank all of the Chicago Bulls fans for, you know, worrying about me. Don't worry. I won't be playing for you next season. Don't worry.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, he did say if the Bulls make the playoffs, he'll be cleared to play. Well, guess what?
I don't know. I don't even know if they'll go to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, you know, that's not going to happen. Well, yeah. As of yesterday, the Bulls are number 10 in the East at 32-36. Their next game is against the Wizards tonight.
Yep.
Tony Romo. You hear about this? Tony, we know, struggled with injuries again last year, and because of that and the emergence of Dak Prescott, he only ended up playing one series for the Dallas Cowboys. But he still qualified for a performance bonus. It was, he picked up a performance bonus of $64.11.
Oh, wow.
Since 2011,
it's
NFL
cool.
teams...
$64
yeah, yeah.
there.
Since 2011, NFL teams are allotted a performance-based pool of money, which can be distributed based on two factors, how much the players are already earning in salary and how much they played. The formula roughly boils down to the percentage of snaps played divided by salary. So the biggest bonuses go to players who didn't earn much but played a ton, exactly the type of players who deserve to get more. Romo, of course, wouldn't be one of them. He made over $20 million last year,
yeah.
But only briefly got into the field and in the last game of the season. Now, by comparison, Prescott got a bonus of $354,447.57.
Right.
His base salary was $450,000, and he played on 67.49% of the snaps last season. The bonus formula doesn't always make sense, though. Reggie Bush finished with a negative rushing yardage total for the season, but he still took home an extra $14,600-plus for his efforts. He also made $1 million in salary with the Bills.
Take it and run.
You know, yeah, still doesn't beat that guy for the Golden State Warriors in the NBA who picked up $400K-plus without even playing one game or bouncing
yeah,
the ball
why not?
One time on the court.
Why not?
Isn't that crazy? Man, oh man, oh man. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, today is St. Patrick's Day. Let me cue the St. Patrick's Day music. All right. Today, the days are traditionally associated...
Do a little dance.
Traditionally, I'm doing the jig over here. You can't see me, but I am. Traditionally associated with green, and in many people's liver's case, associated with gray, because that's what happens to your liver when you drink all that green food coloring and all of the things you shouldn't be drinking. But here's wishing you the luck of the Irish, especially if you're Muslim, Latino, a woman, work in public schools, need assistance with health care, aren't among the richest 1% of Americans. Good luck. We need it, right? And so enjoy that pint of Guinness, as long as it wasn't given to you by Bill Cosby. Go ahead and drink it. Just be aware. But here's some stats about St. Patrick's Day 2017, okay? 56% of us are planning to celebrate St. Patrick's Day today, and most likely 100% of those will be regretting it at some point tomorrow, whether it be because what they drank or what they ate.
Are you doing anything?
Actually, I have a gig today. I am doing a St. Patrick's Day party.
Oh, cool.
I am going to be providing the entertainment for a 55-plus new development community here in Myrtle Beach somewhere.
Nice.
In the Roseland area. I got the call last minute call, so which helps a lot because the money I spent headed to Ohio for the last 5 days and also my contribution to getting my brother giving us rest because he didn't have any insurance or anything like that, so we all pitched in. But luckily, we were blessed. It all got covered by family, friends.
Nice.
Incredible. Had no life insurance. Didn't have, as they say, a you-know-what to pee in. But we got it covered because he was well-loved by a lot of people, so that's a good thing. Another stat about St. Patrick's Day. 83% of people will wear green today, and 100% will spend more green than they mean
to. I was about to say,
today.
Yeah.
Another thing is we'll spend a total of $5.3 billion celebrating it this year. That's about $38 per person, and that's just on Uber. So if you're going to be partying, do not drive. Don't risk it.
No.
Don't think it won't happen to me.
No.
Don't be stupid. Get a cab. Call Uber. Call Lyft. Call somebody, or just stay there and pass out. Do
yes.
not drive, please. Another stat. Worldwide, we'll drink 13 million pints of Guinness today. And we'll flush 13 million puke-filled commodes as well tomorrow.
I'm not a big fan of Guinness. It's all right.
No, me neither. Me neither. We'll eat 70% more cabbage this week than normal.
Nope.
And break enough wind to power the world to the next St. Patrick's Day.
Probably.
You know, cabbage. Careful. Too much
yeah.
cabbage is not a good thing.
Uh-huh.
And St. Patrick's Day is just the fourth most popular drinking holiday, according to the survey. The top three are New Year's Eve,
yeah.
Christmas, and the 4th of July. Now, if you're thinking what I'm thinking... Super Bowl Sunday, come on. That's got
to
be up
there. Oh, people got to go to work the next day. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I can see what you're saying, though.
That is true. That is true. James Corden also had a couple of jokes about St. Patrick's Day regarding things that people will be turning green, like Krispy Kreme.
Today is St. Patrick's Day. Apparently, Americans could spend over $5 billion for St. Patrick's Day this year. Yeah, that's just on bail money. Businesses are celebrating St. Patrick's Day in all kinds of ways. For example, Krispy Kreme is making green-colored donuts for the holiday. Here's a photo. Look at these here. No, they look gross. I don't know. I probably won't be able to eat more than 7 or 8 of those.
Now, be aware, when you eat green food coloring, you're likely to drop something later on that's going to be like blue or purple. So don't panic.
Freak out. Yeah.
Don't panic. Don't think you've got some kind of disease. You just had too much green food coloring in your system, in your beer, whatever. And speaking of green beer, it's that time of the year.
Green beer, it tastes the same. Going down and coming up later. Remember to eat a little something. If you'll be drinking your weight in green beer. Green beer, St. Patty's Day. Go together like Trump and bad hair. Remember to aim away from your shoes when you start to lose that pitcher of green beer.
Come on, everybody, groan along. That's how you're going to feel.
Oh, yeah.
You drink green beer, you feel like, why did I do that?
That's exactly what people want to hear on their way to work, is people throwing up.
So easy on the green beer for St. Patty's Day.
Yes.
And another final warning. This weekend, Moms, Dads, Beauty and the Beast hits the screen.
Cannot wait.
Hits the screen. And you know, it's a funny thing about Beauty and the Beast. It has a hidden meaning that will make you see the story in a whole different light, you know? Because Belle is like high on shrooms, and then she talks to candlesticks and teapots, so hey.
In theaters today, Disney's Beauty and the Beast, an enchanting tale of love, discovery, and inspiration. Sure, as any discerning adult quickly recognizes, it's actually about a woman that discovers the wonders of hallucinogenic mushrooms. How else to explain why a beautiful, intelligent female would willfully enter a neglected castle and allow herself to become a concubine of a horrifying man-beast with talking furniture? Because when you're sober, candlesticks don't sing, clocks don't dance, teapots don't offer relationship advice. But with the help of mind-bending psychotics, inanimate objects not only come to life, but help you become a princess. Disney's Beauty and the Beast.
your child's introduction to the magic of nature's mystical reality-altering fungi. Hey, they can either learn now or in college.
That makes so much sense now.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a parody and for fun, but it did make some pretty poignant points there.
Wow.
And that wraps up this edition of Wally B's World of Sports, St. Patrick's Day green for you. Good to be back. And remember, life is a sport. It's a game. Play it like a winner. You never know when you're going to be taken out of the game. A little pun there for my brother, who's resting in peace. And remember, man, count your blessings every day. Forget your stressings and just appreciate every moment. You never know when it could be your last. So every moment is a gift. That's why now it's called the present. And lastly, I want to tell you to always leave your loved ones with loving words, because you never know what words you will leave your loved ones with last.
Good point. And we definitely missed Wally B's World of Sports. Glad to have him back and back on the airwaves with us. And when we come back from this next commercial break, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Captain E, is in studio with us. One of the great hosts of Southern Anglers Radio Show, 7 to 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. He's going to talk to us about that tournament that he drove for last week, that high school tournament. Want to hear about that. Also, we'll talk about what's going on this weekend, and also what's going to be talked about on Southern Anglers Radio Show tomorrow. That's all coming up right after this break.
Today is St. Patrick's Day, which means tomorrow morning a lot of people will be doing the Walk of Seamus.
I'm from an Irish family. St. Patrick's Day was our big holiday. The night before, we'd hang up our stockings. In the morning, they'd be full of beer.
I'm from a big family. Yeah, well, not by Irish standards. Only 6 kids.
Live shows are the only thing that slow down my drinking.
Drinking on the job is always pinheaded.
I'm Irish. I keep things very bottled up.
I liked you better when you were drinking.
I think you may have had one too many.
What are you talking about? Getting drunk is a holiday tradition.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive. 25 minutes past the hour. Pat Payone and Wally B on you with the Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. And we have a guest in studio. It is the great Captain Inglis Glover of the Southern Anglers Radio Show. You can hear their show 7 to 9 a.m. every Saturday morning right here on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. And we're having him come in every Friday, give us a couple fishing tips, preview the show for tomorrow, and talk about what's going on around the Grand Strand in fishing. So, Captain E, what's going on today?
Not much, buddy. How about you? Freezing again.
I know. It's unbelievable. This weather's got to figure it out. Either stay warm or just go cold and stay that way. I can't take the fluctuations anymore.
Well, the forecast looks great for the next, extended period, so we won't complain too much. But
yeah,
it's been such a mild winter, and again, the fishing has benefited from it. It's been incredible.
Yeah.
Both saltwater and freshwater, so we're not going to complain much about a couple days cold. I just hate to see all these beautiful azaleas start to wilt.
No joke. And you know how the trees and the plants, kind of like you're saying, they react to a mild winter, and when it gets warm and they start to bloom early. Do the fish kind of have that same type of thing where they realize it's a little warmer outside, so they start doing little things differently, and then when it gets back cold, do they react to that again?
Oh, most definitely. And you know, you said we were going to talk about last weekend. Well, I guess we have to. But, you know, I'd been out last week to do some pre-fishing for the tournament and found some fish. Got on some fish really good, went back to those spots Saturday of the tournament. You know, that temperature dropped Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday it was cold, and the fish were not anywhere to be found. We had a great time, don't get me wrong, spending time out there with those high school kids on the water is a blast, and those kids fished hard, and we drove around a lot. We went to probably 30 spots we tried. We caught one crappie while I was on the air with Kenny and them.
That's crappie.
Yeah, it was a pretty crappy day, but yes, in the saltwater side of things, you know, with the temperatures staying so mild, normally when that water temperature gets really cold, down in the lower 50s, even into the, 40s, the trout become lethargic. They don't bite. Really, you fear of them. They call it winter kill. This winter, it's been unbelievable. I mean, guys are just wearing out the speckled trout, and we're going to start to see over the next 3 to 4 weeks weather patterns and fish patterns that we should be seeing in late April probably is and that's going to be freshwater and saltwater, but we're going to everything's so far advanced than what it should be, and we got some great captains this weekend. You know, it's our third anniversary. We tried to figure it out and everything else. But yes, yeah, March 18th would be our third anniversary.
That's awesome.
And we're going to be doing the show live from Marshall's Marine down in Georgetown. But also, Kenny and I put together a seminar with some great captains, all that have been on the radio show, been on my TV show. Those guys are coming in, going to give up their Saturdays to come in and talk fishing. We've got Mike Brady from Rusty Hook is going to be providing lunch for everybody, and it's free. And this is all down at Marshall's Marine in Georgetown. We're going to be doing the show there tomorrow from 7 to 9, and then from 9 until 1:30 will be seminars with some of the best captains, Jay Bache, Jason Burton, Fred Rourke, Randall Robinson, Captain Robert Strickland, some of the best down here. And we've got 47 people signed up now. It's free. You can come out tomorrow at 9 o'clock. We got plenty of food. Show up down at Marshall's down there. Yeah. We'll take care of you. And Captain Jason Burton is actually giving a fishing trip away to one person there, and they're going to get to bring a guest, and we're actually going to film it for
that's
TV.
Awesome.
So I'm going to go with them, and we're going to film it for TV, and that's free. So you don't have to buy a $10, $20 ticket. So come down there tomorrow and celebrate with us. We're going to have a good time, and we're going to have a lot of guys that have been on the show throughout the years with us tomorrow. Fred Rourke, Jason, Jay Bache, those guys are all contribute every week, you know. So they're going to be on with us, and then Stuart from Marshall's Marine is going to be on to talk about a tournament they've got coming up and talk about what's going on at Marshall's. And then Mike Brady's going to talk about the flounder bill that now is one read in the Senate away from being passed, which is the change in the bag limits and stuff. But a lot of things going on in fishing, and we're looking forward to a great show tomorrow. And I patted you on the back when I walked in about your Minnesota pick.
Yeah, you know, I Minnesota to lose Middle Tennessee State. Yeah,
exactly. But I had
that's about the only one I got right yesterday in terms of my upsets.
I'm looking up there and I see a lot of X's.
Oh, come on now,
I see a lot of X's.
That's
up
the
there.
Great part about March Madness.
And Wally, I just want to say I'm sorry to hear about your brother. Glad
Thank
you're back,
you so
buddy.
Kindly.
Missed hearing your voice in here.
Thank you, very kind.
So it sounds like the seminar tomorrow is going to go over a multitude of topics. So you know, whether you're interested in saltwater or freshwater, you probably will get some great information from some great sources along the Grand Strand.
Tomorrow is going to be only saltwater. Okay,
tomorrow's just saltwater.
Yeah, tomorrow's just saltwater. But what it is, it's going to be most of these guys are prepared to discuss, you know, in-depth things, but they'll also start off with just basics, you know, and get you started. And then they're going to just go into Q&As with people and more or less answer questions. Because the worst thing you can do is go sit through a 45-minute seminar with a guy when you really want to hear some other stuff. And he talks about things that, you know, you already know.
Right.
So we're going to open it up for questions early on. It tends to be the best way for people to get knowledge from it, what they're looking for. And the Captain Randall and Captain Robert is the captain of New Inlet Princess. Randall is the captain of Sea Rake. They've both got 50 plus years experience between the two of them. Randall's done some seminars at Grand Strand Saltwater Anglers meetings, but these two together, have so much knowledge of bottom fishing in particular. And everybody's like, well, what's bottom fishing? Basically grouper fishing, you know, things like that. And they're going to share some great tips to help these guys that want to get into bottom fishing or be more effective. They're going to share some great tips on how to do that effectively. So it'll be a great time. Kenny and I are looking forward to it. We're going down today to get set up and everything. But you know, if you can't make it down there, tune in tomorrow from 7 to 9, and we'll be live on the air with our line of crap.
Carp? I hear carp.
Carp. Carp, not – he said carp. He said carp.
I said carp.
No, if you're listening to Southern Anglers Radio Show tomorrow, 7 to 9 a.m., Captain E and Kenny Moore, and it's a great show. Not only do they have fun, they give you great tips as well. So it sounds like – I mean, the three-year anniversary, just give me, like, your favorite moment of the show in the 3 years.
Favorite moment of the show in the 3 years. God, there's so many.
We
actually discussed like just doing a best of kind of for tomorrow because there's so many but to go back. And you've been with us for some of the best. I mean, I know periods where we all fell out the chairs in here laughing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know,
ridiculousness.
Again, we are all amateurs, but we love it. And we've been doing it for 3 years. And if you'd have told me 3 years ago that we'd be on the air for 3 years, I would have said no way possible. I don't think it can happen, but it is such a niche.
Yeah.
You know, again, we've talked about it. It's such a niche, and we're in an area that's just covered with fishing. And, you know, for Saturday mornings, for guys that are driving to work or sitting at home or, you know, can to tune in and listen to some guys having a great time asking dumb questions of very knowledgeable people.
Right.
And getting them to answer them, they love it. And, you know, we do spend about 80% of the time talking about other stuff than fishing.
Yeah.
But we have fun.
It's a great show, not only for entertainment, but as I said, you know, you get some great perspectives of some great captains and other fishermen on the area that maybe you've never thought of attacking a certain fish or a certain area like they have. And so you get some great perspectives.
That's right. And Kenny and I both heard the same thing. We've heard people say exactly how much they've learned from the show and having these guys on here. And it's not because of me and Kenny. We just relay the information.
The liaisons.
It's the guys that come in and spend the time with us, and we really appreciate them. But, you know, it's a great time, and I'll tell you, probably one of the funniest shows ever was the remote we did at our big screen television sponsor. Yes, that was probably one of the funniest shows.
Yeah, I would agree with that one.
You were there.
I was. We'll have to relive that ever again. No, that was a great day.
That was not a good idea.
No.
It was a great idea. We should have recorded the show from 4 to 6, not from 6 to 8.
If you're wondering about that, you know, you could probably read into that and know exactly what we're talking about.
Amen.
But you can listen to the Southern Anglers Radio Show, 7 to 9 a.m. First of all, tell us, are there any big events coming up on the Grand Strand in the near future?
There are. Well, first off, coming up, you've got the Grand Strand Saltwater Anglers Flounder Tournament, which is the biggest flounder tournament. I don't know I don't want to say there's probably the biggest in the Southeast, but it might be.
Yeah.
And that will be in Merle's Inlet, and it's sometime in April, the end of April, okay. April 20-something. Then you've got the Hook Soul, Marshall's Marine, and Key West Boats Offshore Slam out of Marlin Quay, and that is May 11th, 12th, and 13th.
That's an annual thing.
I mean, it's an annual thing. Yeah. And that's the big boys
big
going
one.
Offshore.
Yeah.
Yep, it's a great tournament. And this year it's going to be benefiting the Children's Miracle Network.
Oh, very cool.
So, a great tournament to get involved in. But, you know, the main thing is right now, get off the couch and go fishing. That is always
the best tip. Are
you
kidding me? It's cold, man.
That's the best tip I can give you. Get off the couch and go fishing. Because trust me, even for me, and yes, I'd like to say I'm an expert, but if I don't spend a lot of time on the water, things just change.
Oh, yeah.
It's always changing. God gave them fins for a reason.
So, oh, just like any sport, angling is a sport that constantly is changing, and you got to change with it.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about my golf game from last Friday.
No, I was about to say. I wasn't going to bring that up.
I did catch a bass on the golf course, just so
of course
you know.
You did.
And thankfully, the Dunes Club did not kick me off, but I did
catch
a bass on number 4.
That's awesome. Well, you can hear Captain E and Kenny Moore every Saturday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Not only do they give great advice, it is a great time with some great guys and also some great perspectives from around the Grand Strand of some great captains. Can I say great anymore? But really, I really appreciate you coming out here. What you got to say?
Thank you, Pat. It's been great. I'd throw one more in there. And Wally B., by the way, thanks for the tip on that surprise you might find tomorrow morning in the toilet.
That's right. Remember the colors. The colors.
The colors is what he's saying.
The surprise is the color.
Oh, man. I think we got to call it right there. That interview is great. Got to cut it off, though, before it gets off the rails. Captain E in the studio with us. Again, Southern Anglers Radio, 7 to 9 a.m. Give the people where you're going to be out again tomorrow.
We're going to be at Marshall's Marine in Georgetown, right there on 17. Come over the bridges. You go around the curb. We're right on the left. Can't miss. You'll see all the Key West boats out front. We'll be there from 9 until 1:30. If you can't make it at 9, come whenever you can get there.
Yeah, and definitely listen to the show tomorrow, 7 to 9 a.m., and then go out there live for that great seminar with a lot of the just brilliant and intelligent minds of the Grand Strand in terms of angling and fishing.
You fish with one of them.
I have.
Yeah, you fished with Jay Bates.
I did,
that's
yeah.
Right.
My brother, my dad, and I, we all went out there, and we were supposed to go deep sea fishing, but it was like 3-foot waves out there. He was like, guys, we're not going out there. I was like, no, I'm not trying to throw up on the side of your boat. So I was like, let's just go ahead and keep it inside the inlet.
It wouldn't be the first time somebody's thrown up on the
boat. Yeah, I guarantee it. But really appreciate the time, Captain E. And again, listen to their show, Southern Anglers Radio Show, 7 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team on Saturdays. When we come back, it is our Pick'em Contest. Light up them phone lines, 843-652-3776. Again, the phone number, 843-652-3776. When we come back, it is the Pick'em Contest where you, the listener, get to take on Wally B. and myself going in on some NBA games coming up this weekend. We'll be back on The Drive.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. Whether we are wrong or right, we'll probably be wrong. It's time for the Friday Pick'em Contest with today's special guest picker.
Our special guest picker of this week is James. James, how's it going this morning?
Good, good. How y'all doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, James, we're not going to touch any of the college basketball. There's too much on the line to be putting picks down and really mess up my mojo, even though it's already messed up at this point. So we're gonna do six. Say it again.
And Maryland broke the heart last night.
You're telling me, man.
Melo Trimble better not go. He disappears too much.
You're telling me. That was a terrible, terrible performance. And I mean, anyway, I don't want to get off on another tangent about Maryland. They broke my heart too, James. But we're going to do six NBA games, and including two of those games, we're going to pick who's going to score more points in that game. So let's start it off with Wally breaking down the first NBA game.
Washington Wizards, they're 41-26. They're at home. The Chicago Bulls are coming in without D-Wade, who's hurt. They're 32-36, 7 p.m. tonight.
I really still thought about taking the Chicago Bulls in this game tonight, but the backcourt of Bradley Beal and John Wall is so good. I got to take the Washington Wizards at home, and I believe that there's still enough time for them to make a push for the number two overall seed in the Eastern Conference. So I will take the Wizards in this game and hope for the best, but I'm not too confident in that pick. Wally, who do you like?
I am also going to take the Wizards at home.
James, do you like the Wizards at home or the Bulls on the road?
The Wizards. It gives them a chance to get their defense right. It's been all for the last few games.
Yeah, they just haven't looked like the Wizards we've seen them of the past month.
I mean, they're just outscoring teams.
Yeah.
And they won 4 out of 5 in that last road trip. They're just damn good.
All right, Wally, next game.
Next game, we have the Atlanta Hawks. They're at home against the Portland Trail Blazers. Atlanta's record 37-31. The Blazers are 30-37. The game is 6 p.m. tomorrow night.
So right now, the Portland Trail Blazers, 67 games into the season. So that means they have 15 games left to try and make it into the playoffs. This is when the start happens for Damian Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers and CJ McCollum. I think they get a win on the road against the Atlanta Hawks. Atlanta's a good team, and I'm just not a big fan of Dwight Howard. I've never been a big fan of him. I think Portland, if they're going to make their way into the Western Conference playoffs, it's got to start right now. So I'll take the Trail Blazers on the road.
I'm going with the Hawks at home.
And, James, do you like the Hawks at home or the Blazers on the road?
Blazers.
You like the Blazers on the road as well. It's surprising that they're not in the playoff picture right now. They're just on the outside.
Yeah, they're talented. They're underachieving.
Yeah. All right, Wally, next game.
L.A. Clippers, they're at home. Their record, 40-29. They're taking on my Cleveland Cavaliers at 45-22, 8:30 p.m. tomorrow night.
It is said that Kevin Love may be returning to this game. Now, will he see a lot of action? Probably not. He's probably a little out of shape, but it still is a big piece for the Cleveland Cavaliers to get back as they make a run to the postseason. The L.A. Clippers, though, are a team that I've watched a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, and I believe they're playing a good brand of basketball, although they've had some bad results. This is another team that I think needs to make a little bit of a push to get back up into the top echelon of the Western Conference. So I will take the Clippers at home, especially with the Cleveland Cavaliers going from east to west. I just think the travel might get to them in this one, so I'm going to take the Clippers at home.
Got to go with the Cavaliers. LeBron's beginning to tune up, get ready for that home stretch of the season, so I think he's going to be bringing it.
And they got some other teams breathing down their back in the Eastern Conference, so yeah. It's definitely a time for Cleveland to turn it on as well. James, do you like the Clippers at home or the Cavaliers on the road?
I like the Clippers. This is where the Wizards make their move for that number one spot.
You said the Clippers, right?
Yes.
All right. Next one, Wally.
Golden State at home. They're 54-14 right now. They're going to be taking on the Milwaukee Bucks, who are coming in at 33-34. 10:30 tomorrow night.
Yeah, this is a late game for us, and so it's on the West Coast, so it's not necessarily a late game for the Golden State Warriors. Golden State, right now, they are currently still the number one seed in the Western Conference, but they need to turn it back on. I mean, last night they got a good win, and it was all because of Klay Thompson pretty much. So I believe that's going to continue. I think they get the win at home against Milwaukee. I love Milwaukee, and I've said it all year long. This is a team that could surprise some people, not only this year but next year as well. But Golden State's got to really turn it on now with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. So I will take the Golden State Warriors at home.
Also got to take the Warriors at home.
All right, James, do you like the Warriors at home or the Bucks on the road?
Golden State at home.
All right. Do you think they finish first in the West by the end of the season?
No.
No? You think the Spurs catch them?
I think the Spurs will catch them.
Yeah. So we also have an additional question for this game. Wally?
Who is going to have more points? Will it be Steph Curry or is Giannis?
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
You know, with the Warriors winning this game, and last night, like I said, Klay Thompson shot pretty darn well last night. I think it's time for Steph Curry to step up. So I will take Steph Curry having more points than Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Just to go different, I'm going to go ahead and go with Giannis.
You're going
to
go Giannis, the Greek freak. All right, James, who has more points in this game, Steph Curry or Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Steph. I think he'll have about 34, and Giannis will have about 27.
So still some pretty big numbers. I think it's going to be pretty close. I think both these guys are the catalyst of their own teams. And Steph Curry just, he's been kind of, you know, even though his numbers are pretty close to what he did last season, he's just been a little off some nights. So I think it's a big night for Steph Curry to have. Moving on to the next NBA game, Wally.
Philadelphia 76ers, records 24-43 there at home. The Celtics of Boston coming in for a St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's Day weekend throwdown. Yeah. 1 o'clock on Sunday, the Celtics are 43-25.
Oh, man. You know, I wanted to take Philadelphia just because I like their budding young stars, and, you know, they're still ways out of way of the NBA Eastern Conference playoff seeds. Boston is playing really well, and they are currently the number two seed, and they have an opportunity to catch the Cleveland Cavaliers. I believe they're only three games back. So I will take Boston as they make a push to try and get the number one seed overall in the Eastern Conference. And this might be the start of it, or it might just be leading to seeing the Cleveland Cavaliers as the number one seed. But I'm going to take Boston this game.
Got to go with the Celtics as well.
James, is there really any question to you that the 76ers have any chance against the Boston Celtics?
No.
So yeah. I threw that one in there because you never know with the Philadelphia 76ers, with some of the young talent they have, if they're able to put it all together one night and you know, challenge a team. But I said it earlier, I'm never picking against the Boston Celtics during the regular season this year.
You know, it's like once a week they do. They surprise the team and beat them. It's like once a week they come up with one of them wins.
We'll see if it's this Sunday. With our picks, all three of us don't believe it's going to be against the Boston Celtics. All right, the final game, Wally.
Toronto Raptors at home, record 39-29. Indiana Pacers coming in to take them on at 35-33, 6 o'clock on the evening Sunday.
I am a huge fan of Paul George. I was really hoping that the Lakers would have made a trade for him and not have to give up too much. They didn't happen. It didn't happen that way. So Paul George is still with the Pacers, and I believe they have a young little roster around him as well. That's pretty good. I'm going to take the Pacers on the road against the Raptors in this game. I just believe in Paul George just a little bit more than DeMar DeRozan, and so I will take the Pacers. And I think that they need a couple more wins before the season gets out, just to secure their spot not only in the Eastern Conference but maybe move up a couple seeds as well. So I'll take the Pacers on the road.
Going to go with the Toronto Raptors at home.
And James, second to last pick, the Raptors at home or Pacers on the road?
Oh, Raptors.
You're going to go Raptors at home. All right, the additional question for this game, Wally?
Who gets more points, DeMar DeRozan or Paul George?
PG-13 all day long. If Indiana is going to have any chance of winning this game, it's going to be on the back of Paul George, so I will take Paul George.
I'm going with Double D.
I'm going Double D, DeMar DeRozan. Yep. And James, who has more points in this game, DeMar DeRozan or Paul George?
DeRozan.
You're going to go DeMar DeRozan. All right. Yeah. Well, James, really appreciate you coming on the show and being our guest picker. We will let you know on Monday whether you beat Wally, B, and I. And if you do, we'll get you a great prize. All right?
I appreciate you.
All right. Enjoy. You too. Enjoy all the basketball this weekend in the NBA, but also in March Madness as well. And when we come back, we will go through the games today and also recap the standings in the Sports Radio 100.3 through the Team Million Dollar Madness Bracket Challenge. That's coming up on The Drive.
It's time for the final word. The show is almost over, but the conversation continues throughout the day on Twitter at 1003 The Team. Enjoy your workday. We're wrapping up ours.
Welcome back to The Drive. Just about 3 minutes left in today's show. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Pat Payone and Wally B hanging out with you. Just a couple more minutes left. And final word, go over the standings right now. We have two entries in our TeamMyrtleBeach.com $1 Million Madness Bracket Challenge that are still perfect after day one. So they still have the ability to win $1 million if their entire bracket stays perfect. Now, also, first place, courtesy of Backyard Sports Bar and Grill, will get a 50-inch flat-screen TV. The other top five will get great prizes courtesy of Budweiser through Backyard Sports Bar and Grill. So don't forget, you can go to TeamMyrtleBeach.com, click on the $1 Million Madness Bracket Challenge picture, and check the standings as they will be updated throughout all of the tournament. Going through the schedule for Coastal Carolina Baseball, again, Texas State, they are on the road this weekend. Friday will be a 7 p.m. first pitch, 6:45 pregame. Saturday, 5 p.m. first pitch, 4:45 pregame. And Sunday will be a 2 p.m. first pitch, 1:45 pregame. All those can be heard on Sports Radio 100.3 through The Team. Going through the schedule of college basketball games for today. Number 7, Michigan versus number 10, Oklahoma State, noon on CBS. Number 3, Baylor. Number 14, New Mexico State, 12:30 True TV. Number 8, Arkansas. Number 9, Seton Hall, 1:20 on TNT. Number 3, Oregon versus number 14, Iona, 1:50 TBS. You also have number 2, Louisville versus number 15, Jacksonville State, 2:30 CBS. Number 6, SMU versus number 11, Southern California, 3 p.m. True TV. Number 1, Tar Heels. North Carolina Tar Heels taking on number 16, Texas Southern, 350 on TNT. You got number 6, Creighton versus number 11, Rhode Island, one of my upset specials, 420 on TBS. Number 1, Kansas versus number 16, UC Davis, 645 TNT. Number 7, Dayton versus number 10, Wichita State. Again, another one of my upsets. That is 7 p.m. on CBS. Cincinnati, the 6 seed versus the 11 seed Kansas State. That is on 7:15 True TV. The Duke Blue Devils, the number 2 seed, they get underway tonight taking on Troy of the Sun Belt. That'll be at 7:15 TBS. 8 seeded Miami Hurricanes taking on 9 seeded Michigan State Spartans, 9:15 TNT. Number 2 Kentucky Wildcats, they face off against the Norse of Northern Kentucky, the 15th seed, 9:30 CBS. Also, the Gamecocks tonight. Number 7, South Carolina taking on number 10, Marquette, 9:45 TBS. And in the last game of the night, number 3, UCLA will take on number 14, Kent State, 9:55 True TV. It's been a great week. Thank you to Rusty who filled in for Wally. Glad to have Wally back. Thank you for all the participation we had this week.
Good to be back.
Thank you for signing up for our bracket challenge. Thanks for Captain E coming in today, giving us a little talk about fishing. We'll be back next week. Have a great St. Patrick's Day.
Your sports leader from Little River to Loras, Conway to Carolina Forest. We are WSCA, Atlantic Beach, Myrtle Beach. Cumulus Broadcasting Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.